morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
It's hot.
Fire.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh my, who's better than Van?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin. It can only be
Jerry. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Valley sports fans. As we say every week, if you're in the business of morning radio, happy Friday are about the two best words you are going to find. Sarah Cazell feels it.
Yes, I sure do.
Scott Williams in for Vince Marotta today. Hey, Scott, what's happening?
I feel it, too. And it is not only just any old Friday, it is a Masters Friday.
Yeah, this is, we do have the danger, Jared. You might have to put up some guardrails today because we got a couple of golf dorks on this side of the glass.
Especially if Tiger starts off on a roll here.
Well, he hasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, well, never mind. Scott and I have been monitoring that. He bogeyed the first.
Yeah, he started on 14, uh-huh. Put a bogey on the scorecard, but he has been even since.
Okay. We talked about this yesterday. This is a worst-case scenario for Tiger Woods and his creaking, damaged body. Having to go, 24 holes in one day. So,
I once read
good
that
luck, Tiger.
I once read Alice Cooper when he was rehabbing from drugs, golfed 36 holes every day for like 3 months or something.
He still does golf every day of his life.
All right, so come on, Tiger, you could do 24.
Listen, and I tell this to my friends too. Alice Cooper, the couple things about him, he has to have the first tee time of the day, so he's the first one out, but he also has an Alice Cooper rule. So everybody who golfs with Alice Cooper gets an automatic par in the first hole.
Is that right?
It's a fantastic way to begin a round of golf.
I love that. That's a great way to start your day.
It is. Because his theory is if I'm making you play the first tee slot of the day, you're probably not getting any range time. But it also takes all that, the jitters, because now you can go shank a couple of shots. You can be a shankopotamus. And you got your par in the first hole.
I've heard of a breakfast ball on the first tee.
The Alice Cooper rule, man.
But he gives you a breakfast par.
A breakfast par in the first hole.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a good way to set the tone, right? Yeah, listen. I try to convince my buddies to do that whenever we play. They think it's, maybe a little too generous, but works for me.
Are you a big mulligan guy when you play? Like,
You try not to be.
Yeah, no traveling mulligan.
No.
I'll give you that breakfast ball, mulligan, whatever you want to call it, on the first hole, and then that's it. Then we play real golf after that.
Exactly. When you start factoring in the back nine mulligan, now you're stretching the rules a little too far. Yeah.
Lunch ball. Brunch ball.
Foot wedge. Yeah, brunch ball.
Midday snack ball.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. All right, we're going to have some fun today. Scott Williams in for Vince. Start the show. Jarrett.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
All right, as Sarah has already mentioned, the Suns begin the weekend still in the play-in tournament. That is because last night the New Orleans Pelicans stood up, took down the Kings in Sacramento. Robust offensive performance. They have got the Kings' number. They also remain in sixth spot in the Western Conference entering this weekend's play. Suns tonight in Sacramento, and as Sarah's already laid out, they kind of got to win both games and hope for the best.
Yeah, I tell you what, the New Orleans Pelicans are rolling right now. Zion Williamson has decided he has put his hard hat and lunch pail on. 31 points last night, along with CJ McCollum for 31. So, Pel's starting to play some good basketball.
The Kings are not rolling. The Kings are not rolling right now.
The Kings are not rolling.
Good opportunity for the Suns.
Well, yes, it is. Karl-Anthony Towns returns tonight for Minnesota. The Suns have the Timberwolves on Sunday. So there you go. Now, you Arizona fans in the building, Tommy Lloyd is not going to Kentucky because the Kentucky Wildcats hired Mark Pope.
My former teammate.
Is that right?
Former Kentucky Wildcat. Yeah, we were, Pope and I were teammates up in Milwaukee together.
Wow.
Yeah, leaving BYU. He did a great job at BYU. Now he gets a job at his old alma mater. Yeah.
Wow.
You figure that, what a better fit than
a guy named Pope
at BYU. But I guess Kentucky works.
Listen, apparently Wildcats fans are all upset because they wanted a bigger name.
Kentucky Wildcats fans.
Yes.
Yeah, what did I say? Arizona?
No, Wildcats. No.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Kentucky Wildcats fans. Listen, and that's part of the reason why this job is not all that anymore. The expectations, the amount of cooks in that kitchen.
As far as I know, the bigger name said no. It's not like they didn't try.
Yep.
Yeah, he went after a few dudes. But, hey, listen, I'm sure Pope is extremely excited to be going back to his alma mater, trying to restore some glory there for
there you go.
For the
I
squad.
Know you're a teammate. That's cool. So you like the hire. Is he?
I do like the hire. They're going to shoot. They're going to play fast like they did at BYU. They're going to shoot a ton of threes, over 30 threes a game. I think the SEC is going to be excited to have him there.
All right, good. Cool. All right, in the You Should Not Be Surprised department, Tom Brady, during a podcast. During a podcast with his barber/social media influencer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Vic Blends is the guy's name. Vic Blends.
It is, yeah.
I don't even know what a barber is.
Yeah, right?
I've been bald for 30 years.
Right. Yeah. And I don't get my hair cut, so we're in the same boat. So Tom Brady claims he's not opposed to returning to the NFL this year. And you know what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so some people are thinking, all right, is this a joke? Is this a way to goose a podcast? And the answer to that is probably yes and yes. But he dropped the New England Patriots out there.
Stop it.
And you have to wonder if now that Bill Belichick is gone, whether Tom Brady wants to go and close that loop. I don't know. You never know with that guy.
That's like an earthquake in the National Football League.
Yeah, it is.
You surprised me with that one. You didn't tell me about that before. You said there was some Brady sound, but you didn't tell me that. Well, that big.
I like to keep you on your toes, man.
Nice surprise, Vic.
The Diamondbacks are at home this weekend series with the St. Louis Cardinals. That means the return of Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Who's struggling this year. Either way, it's a big weekend series marquee opponent. Hope the Diamondbacks have some good crowd figures. Brandon Pfaadt on the mound tonight. Like to see that baseball team get into a good lane. You know what I mean? You big baseball fan?
I'm a big Goldschmidt fan. Excited to welcome him back into the Valley. He can do no wrong in my mind. And even if he's off to a slow start, you know he's coming out to show out for his fans that are going to be out there to support him.
It is true.
Paul Goldschmidt.
The Masters, as we mentioned at the very beginning, round two. Well, actually, they're completing round one as we speak. Bryson DeChambeau, a live golfer, lit up the place. He's at 8 under after his first round. And right behind him, Scottie Scheffler is one shot back, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, -6.
Yeah, that's 7 and 6 is what they are. Yeah, that's what it is. So
I got a few bucks on with my buddy on Scheffler, so I'm excited. He got off to a good start.
Yeah, and two things I think about this. Scottie Scheffler, I think, could run away with this thing, and what he did yesterday doesn't dissuade me from thinking that. And anybody but a live golfer winning this thing is fine with me. Anybody but a live golfer.
Not a fan of the live.
Well, it's just, you can feel what they've done to this sport. They had their Masters dinner the other night, and all these old timers, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, all these guys are saying, this is terrible how divided we have become. Live golfers got all the marquee names, and they've got a terrible product. The PGA Tour's got the product and no names, and the whole thing's been disrupted. It's brutal.
Can't argue that point.
It's been absolutely brutal. We're also going to give you an update on the Arizona Coyotes. They released. Did they a statement on Instagram? Was that a?
Well,
we're not quite.
The social media.
We're not quite.
Retweeted or reposted, whatever the hell you call it now.
Yes.
A quote that was attributed to, but may or may not be
attributed to Coyotes ownership. But then when you ask Coyotes ownership, did you actually say this? No comment.
No comment.
No comment on the comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's making a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's what we're going. That's what we're going today. Scott Williams in for Vince.
And OJ Simpson still dead.
Too soon, Jarrett?
Well, no, I'm just updating people.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Did you why? Did you think there was going to be a resurrection or something
this time
with him?
Of year, you know.
Easter already happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, Jacob, it's still dead.
In case Jared, anyone missed news yesterday.
I wonder if that is a preface to O.J. Simpson jokes in the...
No.
Oh, boy.
No, I don't, not really. Not really. I don't make jokes about people.
Well, you haven't even written
die.
The kebab yet, so we don't know where you're going with it.
Yeah. I'll let you know when he pulls up the blank document in about 30 minutes. There you go,
the free kebab. That's what he's here for. All right, when we come back on the other side, we'll set the stage for the Phoenix Suns in action. Big basketball game tonight. We'll tell you all about it. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's Luke, and then there were two. So what are the Phoenix Suns going to show us in their final two games of the regular season? We're getting you ready for Suns Kings at 10 a.m. Well, Wolf will, because I'll be in Coachella. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Welcome back, everybody. Dan Bickley alongside Scott Williams, who is filling in for Vinny. Happy Friday. And then there were two games left in this regular season for the Phoenix Suns. Begins tonight in Sacramento. They're facing the reeling Kings, who have lost four of five games in what is going to be quite an interesting confrontation.
Yeah, but don't sleep on those Kings. They can be dangerous, and they are pretty darn good when they face the Suns. Something about the Suns makes Sabonis light up. And I remember the last time they played them like it was yesterday. It was February 13th. Suns got the win 130-125, but Sabonis went for 35-18-12.
Ooh.
Now that's that's a monster number out of the big man. Yeah. So don't sleep on the Suns.
No.
Don't sleep on the Kings.
No, as we mentioned last segment, in a perfect world, the Kings would have beaten the Pelicans last night.
Yeah.
Then they wouldn't have been as desperate to win tonight. You got the worst.
Plus, it would have put the Pelicans down.
Yes,
a game
and the Suns would have been in the sixth spot already.
Yeah, they'd have been tied, but on the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
so that was a big, big loss that the Kings had last night. It affected the Suns more than it affected
the
Kings.
Hard to catch the Pelicans now. Harder.
They still have a back-to-back against Golden State. So, I mean, that's... I have a hard time thinking that the Pelicans are going to not drop one of these last two games.
Well, yeah, they got the Warriors tonight.
And they have the Lakers
at home. Problem is, and I know you talked about the back-to-back, you believe the Pelicans have the best record on the road. 27 road wins this season.
Yeah.
Best in the Western Conference.
Yeah, wow.
Shocker.
And you're absolutely right. The difference, and we saw it when they played the Suns, is just Zion deciding, okay, I am going to rise up is what I'm going to do. And he's been doing that.
That's the thing, just real quick, because seeing these other teams, like when Karl Anthony Towns went out, how Anthony Edwards turned into an MVP, just took the team on his back. Now we're talking about Zion during this late playoff charge, taking the team on his back. It's everything we were hoping to see from Devin Booker and or Kevin Durant during the stretch, and there's just been no consistency.
And no leadership. And none of that, all right, I am going to be the guy for this team. So what you got now is you've got what looks to be a broken basketball team in the Phoenix Suns against a desperate basketball team in the Kings. Both teams need to win this game. If the Kings are still looking at maybe sneaking up to the seventh spot, they are not going to be, they're going to be in the play-in. But they have a lot of incentive to get this right. And as you said, they have caused fits. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis clearly have been matchup issues for this basketball team.
Yeah,
so who knows what to expect from the Suns? You said it best. From week to week, you don't know where this ride is going to take you.
No, I mean, go back to the last two games against the Clippers. They come out completely uninterested in the game on Tuesday night I was at. They got outscored 37-10 in the first quarter. They were down 35-4 at one point, and 17,000 people in the stands looking at each other like, what has happened to our basketball team? And then the next night, they come out against the Clippers. They basically started their entire starting five, but you get a very focused Booker. 37 points out of Booker. He was fantastic in the first quarter. 15 or 16 points, I believe he had. And a good effort by Nurkic, a good effort by Durant, and even Bill with 26 points. So it's just a tale of two teams. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, we never got the consistency that we wanted end of March on into April leading into the playoffs. So everybody's confused as to what's going to happen.
Scott, as a former player, can you take a team seriously that has a game like the Suns did against the Clippers like that this late in the season? Or does stuff like that just happen sometimes?
No, that stuff like that normally does not just happen this late in the season. You might get one of those on a random Tuesday in December, but with game 79, game 80, you got to be more locked in than that to start a basketball game. It makes you understand that something's going on prior to this team taking the floor, why they do not have their concentration. It has nothing to do with X's and O's.
No, and I cannot wait to dive into this, because as somebody who has been in locker rooms with the greatest players the game has ever seen, you can smell something when it's not right. And this has got every warning sign you can imagine. Now, a couple things that I'm going to be curious about. So we know that last game against the Clippers, Royce O'Neal took Grayson Allen's spot in the starting lineup. Royce O'Neal performed very well, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Good line for him. Will that continue, or was that a one-off? To me, I really like what Royce O'Neal brings this team in a starting capacity. I'm not sure it's a difference maker either way, but it's something to watch tonight, exactly what they're going to roll out there.
This is Frank Vogel after last game on why Grayson went to the bench and why Royce O'Neal started.
It's just something we've been talking about. You know, if we get into a playoff matchup where, you know, we have a bigger opponent, you know, that we feel like his size in the starting lineup is something that would make sense. We didn't want to go to that with Grayson coming off the bench for the first time, having never done it. You know, so we use this one game to let Grayson, just have that, you know, feel the rhythm of coming off the bench if it's needed in the playoffs. I expect to go back to our normal starting lineup next game.
So he says it's a one-off.
Well, at the end there. There's a couple things in play here, and Gambo brought up an interesting speculative question. If you're looking to resign Grayson Allen, and you're looking ostensibly to resign both he and Royce O'Neal because you don't have a lot of flexibility with the roster, are you cognizant of what this might do to his mindset about wanting to sign with you if you bench him? At this point in time, I don't know how Grayson Allen is built like that. You know, some guys it matters to, some guys it doesn't. It's been a bust out season for Grayson Allen, and I don't know how he would take to something like that.
It doesn't hurt his value at this point. He's already shown that he's been one of the top players at shooting the three in the NBA. He's his market for next year. His contract situation is solid. I don't think he looks at it as a slap to him personally. I'm only concerned that here we are, game 81, and they're still searching for a starting five rotation. And I do like the fact that, hey, after you got punched in the mouth by the Clippers for 37 points in the first half, that you want to go maybe to a little bigger, stronger defensive player in Royce O'Neal. He's that undrafted guy. Hey, cheers to the undrafted guys. I was one of them. That's got a little dog in him, right? He'll get up and get nasty. You probably want a little more fight than you get sometimes in that out of that starting group outside of Nurkic.
Yes.
So I'm okay
so
with
am
it,
I.
But it's just unfortunately that we're actually here at game 81.
Yeah, you're right, because if you're tinkering with your starting lineups in game 81, it means you still don't know what your identity is. And a lot of people looked at the amount of three-point shots the Suns hoisted up in that last game against the Clippers as
50?
Yeah, like, okay, what are you trying to do at this stage of the season? And anyways, it kind of speaks to, like, just the weirdness that is going on behind the scenes here. All right, we're going to get way more into the Phoenix Suns as the show progresses. When we get back on the other side, we'll give you an update from our hockey team in town. All right, is it still our hockey team?
It's still in town.
Is it our, left yet? Is it our hockey team? Scott Williams bringing the fire, filling in for Vinny. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. Dan Bickley here. Scott Williams here filling in for Vinny, Sarah Cazell, Jared Carlin. Scott Williams said he's just here for the free kebab. We all get it. 9:30 on a Friday. The free kebab.
I did come bearing gifts. I brought you a Bradley Beal bobblehead. It's right behind you there. I add to your bobblehead collection you got going on back there.
Fantastic. Nice.
Thank you. What a lot of bees. I can't understand why he's got a headset on, though. Is that, like, work because we're, like, in the radio booth here, or what?
Bradley Beal has a headset on?
That is very, very weird.
Are you sure it's not Al McCoy? They've often been mistaken.
He's holding a basketball, but he's got a headset on. I don't know who, you know.
Hold it up to the camera.
Fry's Food Store did it, so... Yeah. It kind of confused me a little bit.
No, Scott Williams is right on the money. There are headphones. There's like a Sennheiser set, a headphone / microphone apparatus.
Must have been during the first half of the year where he wasn't playing. And just
No. Interviews. Oh, you see what? See what's in his left hand?
I couldn't tell what that is.
That's a joystick. That's a video game.
Oh, this is a gamer.
So he's gaming is what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
Okay, so I'm not a gamer. That's why I didn't put two and two together.
But with all the stuff that was about DA and, you know. Yeah. Gaming. Is that something you really want to be flaunting with a basketball player?
It's the kids.
Well, that's a nice gift there, Scott. I appreciate that.
So I
also see that we have a little miniature foam baseball that was here. You took it upon yourself to sign it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think Jerry Jackson brought it in, and I was using it kind of as a stress relief ball. And something told me, you know what? I'm going to autograph this. I don't know who put. I did not put that up there, though.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else put that up there. Not that vain.
No. That's great. Here's an empty ball. I must sign it.
Have you ever
you
had
know
a,
this needs I'm an athlete. A signature?
Have you ever had a bobblehead of yourself, Scott?
No, only of my dreams. Oh. It's my biggest, like, not going to the Final Four, not getting a bobblehead are kind of like my biggest sports disappointments.
Is it really? No, it's not. You're lying.
No, I really wanted a bobblehead. I was never good enough to get one, obviously. But I've seen some guys that were borderline questionable, and they got bobbleheads.
You just had to be a fan favorite.
I'm going to go talk.
Oh, and he's always a media favorite. This. People don't know, I covered Scott when he played in Chicago. So he and I go way back.
Yeah.
And you were always a media favorite because you were always so loquacious.
Did I tell you that the boss, Reinsdorf, brought me into the principal's office the other day?
Yeah. The other day?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Really?
He read my book. He was not too he wasn't too happy about some things in there. Sent me a text message and said, we need to have lunch.
Really?
So we went and broke some bread.
Wow,
and
did you really?
My palms were sweating like I was sitting in front of Dean Smith again.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, good stuff.
Wow.
I hope he paid for lunch.
No, I paid.
Did you?
He gave me enough money over 4 years in Chicago. I think at least I could buy him some chicken salad.
He owns two sports teams.
I was going to say, though.
And a media company.
Checks
He's
out,
fine.
Though, doesn't it?
Oh, that's... Well, so you guys in a good spot now?
I think so. I think we're good. I sent him a text message after lunch, but he never replied. So I'm not 100% sure.
Speaking of team owners.
Yeah, speaking of ownership. Team owners, yes. So the Arizona Coyotes, where are they going? Are they going? What are they doing? Here's what's happened recently for those who've been paying attention. The social media team put out a hype video, and the hype video basically was, we're the Coyotes. We've been the center of rumors for two decades. We ignore it. You ignore the noise. We do hockey the hard way. So it's really leading to this idea that this is nothing but just noise.
And over the last week, when all this talk about they're moving to Salt Lake City after this season, the land bid stuff, all this news, the social media team has been consistently saying, we love Arizona. Yeah. We want to stay in Arizona. Yeah. We're going to stay in Arizona.
Right. So then we get to yesterday where a message was reposted on Instagram. That's correct, right? Instagram was the platform?
Twitter as well.
And it read as follows, quote, let the fans know we hear them and we're doing everything we can to keep the Coyotes in Arizona with a forever home. We feel their pain. It sucks, and we are sorry they have to go through this, end quote. First of all, the point of view in that statement is odd by itself, because it sounds like somebody is taking a quote from ownership or upper management saying, hey, is there something you want to say to the fans? Okay, yes. Let the fans know. Because you would think in a normal release it would just come out and say, hey, we're doing everything we can. You know what I'm saying? So the quote that is directing someone to let the fans know is a little bit odd in and of itself.
Yeah, speaking to one person rather than the entire fan base.
Right, exactly. So the grammar's a little off in it.
I mean, they're missing a period, too.
There's that. But the question then becomes... what does the question become? The question becomes, is this a hint that are they telling their fans, yes, we're going to go, yes, we're selling the team, but yes, we're going after that land?
Well, such a confusing thing. We talked about yesterday the three possibilities that they could sell the team.
Temporarily relocate.
They could temporarily relocate to a different place other than Mellett Arena or a different city.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could... move to Salt Lake City, build a new arena here, and then get an expansion team in 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like maybe they're talking to some city officials without talking directly to the city officials. I know, again, going back to my lunch, that there was a photo of Jerry taken in Nashville. Conveniently, while he's trying to negotiate a new deal for his Chicago White Sox baseball club, which he smiled real big about, that happened to be taken.
Yeah.
So,
well,
there is some gamesmanship that gets played, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, but again, to me, this idea that, okay, we're going to lose this team, but don't worry, we're going to double back and bring it back here. That just seems really fantastical to me. As you have pointed out, the NHL has already expanded. I've heard nothing about them wanting to go
just
beyond
32 teams.
Just
recently expanded, too. Seattle and Las Vegas.
Yeah. And it's not like this ownership group is so decorated that the NHL can't wait to bring them back into the fold.
Right.
So a lot of this just doesn't make sense. Here's the tough part, because I've talked about media people I know that have covered this team that may or may not have jobs with this team.
We've talked about how just we want to be a four-sport city as a fan.
We've talked about that. Here's the other thing, though. If you're a hockey player on this team, especially if you're married with family, can you imagine, if you've got a spouse who absolutely loves Scottsdale, hun, sorry, we got to go to Salt Lake City. Now, Salt Lake City gets a bad rap. Salt Lake City is very progressive. It's like kind of like Phoenix. It's like a blue dot in a sea of red, if you will. But it's kind of
an upcoming city.
But if you love Arizona, and a lot of people do, you don't want to leave. So you can understand the kind of strife that this must be creating inside that locker room.
So real quick, I just want to play a couple of quotes. The head coach, Andre Tierney, does a weekly with Wolf and Luke, was on yesterday.
Tierney is a form of government, Jarrett. Turigny.
Bear was on with, as they call him.
If you're, yeah.
It's kind of a long quote, but it's very good, and he does have the heavy French-Canadian accent. But he talks about how this is affecting more than just like a fan base. This is affecting the players, the families, the people that work with the Coyotes, how the rumors, how the stress of what might happen.
That has a lot of impact because our player loves to play in Phoenix. They love to play for each other. I think that has a huge impact. But I will tell you where it has the most impact is we have 31 staff members who don't have a contract for next year. Those guys have family. Some are divorced. Some, their kids are in Phoenix and they're divorced. Some have a wife or a partner who has a job who now they will have to take a decision if the team is moving. Are they moving with the team and their wife has to leave their job behind, or do they decide to not follow and leave a job they love because their partner has a great job in Phoenix or something like that? Some guys have kids who are at university, they need to pay for the university. Those kind of things are real. That's real. That's emotion. That's real life. And that's where we're in.
And
can I jump in there just real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Give me a break, okay? You're a pro. You get paid to play. I played in Chicago, Philly, Milwaukee, Denver, Phoenix, Dallas, and Cleveland. I had to move family, kids, dogs, horses. It's just part of the deal.
Horses?
It's. I agree with you. The difference is, as an athlete, you weren't moving cities because the team you were at was leaving. So, yeah,
but it's also,
I understand what you're saying.
It's different for a player than it is for a staff member.
It's different for a young player versus an older player.
Yeah. I think about the jobs leaving the state of Arizona. Athletes, yes, but the everyday folks who are working, you know, contractors at the stadium or at the arena on game days, like those are people who are losing jobs.
I think what Scott's saying is also true. As it relates to the Coyotes, there's a lot of youth on this team. Young players, yes. They're not settled. This is moving isn't that big of a deal to them. That's why I think when Andre Turigny pointed out these assistant coaches who have got right.
Established lives.
Either way,
yeah.
It's not good. So hopefully they'll find a forever home. Everything is awesome.
Yes, exactly. Before we go, though, and I do want to say that Diamondbacks fans, get ready because
you're so smooth.
Starting Monday, this is something that both of you know. The Chicago Cubs are coming to town. It's a big series coming up, and we will be giving away tickets to that series all day today. So stay tuned and listen, possibly at the end of next segment. Maybe.
Really?
Well, being that we have to do it once an hour and we're almost done with this hour, yes. But anyway, that's what I want to say. Now back to you, Dan Bickley. Ebenezer Williams.
Are you ready for Tom Brady's return to football? We'll discuss it next. Scott Williams, Dan Bickley, you're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader, Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
All right, football fans, you thought you'd seen the last of Tom Brady? Maybe, maybe not. On an episode of a brand new podcast with a barber / influencer, Vic Blends. What does he blend there, Jarrett?
Because he blends the sides of your hair.
Exactly.
Into them.
Exactly. So on this podcast with Vic Blends, the subject of a return came up. This is what Tom Brady had to say.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers. Maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots. Somebody. Raiders. Look, could be. You never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
All right. So that makes you go, what?
He
backtracked a little bit as the podcast went on. But to me, oh my God is right, because Vic Blends, he brought up the 49ers because that is one of the rumored destination places that Tom Brady wanted to go before he ended up in Tampa.
And that is the team that Vic Blends likes.
Okay, Tom quickly moved off the 49ers because he knows they've got a quarterback, right? They just went to the Super Bowl with them.
Yes, brought up two teams unsolicited there.
Then he brought up could be the Patriots, could be the Raiders.
The Raiders, who has been rumored with ownership stuff, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And who's the Raiders starting quarterback right now? See? Exactly.
Looks at each other.
Who's the Patriots starting quarterback right now?
They don't have one. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not always a conspiracy theory guy, but that return to New England, if you really kind of wanted to stick it to Bill Belichick, you would go back there when they change coaches.
But they're so bad.
Wow. How's his relationship with Kraft? Great. Did he burn that when he left, though?
No, him and Robert Kraft are father-son like. In fact, there is a huge ceremony on tap this summer at Foxborough Stadium. It's in the middle of June. It's a Tom Brady, come to the football stadium, we're going to celebrate Tom Brady.
So do you think Kraft took that bait and immediately got on the phone with Tom? Or is Brady just being like Aaron Rodgers was for those four off seasons in a row going, I have, no one's talked about me in 5 to 7 days. What can I do to get some attention? What can I say to get some attention so people look my way?
Look at me. Why is no one talking about me?
This man really should just try Bumble. You know? Hinge. You'll get some attention there.
You'll get a lot of attention there, right?
Now, the caveat that he put, well, if I'm an owner, I don't know if they let me play. I don't think that's a rule, right?
There is a rule in the NBA. I don't know if that extends to the NHL.
Remember, Mario Lemieux famously played for the Penguins.
It'd be hard to be an owner and a player because you'd be subverting the coach's authority. The coach couldn't tell you anything. You'd go, "Coach, really? You're fired."
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun, doesn't it?
Well, I thought, didn't Jordan have to divest something with the Wizards when he came back to play for the Wizards?
There have been cases of people having to kind of divest.
You can play, but you kind of put it in your grandmama's name or something like that until you come back or something. I don't know. It's like they do something, right?
Here's a few.
You know the legalese behind it.
Mm-hmm.
They get it out of their name for a hot moment. And then when they retire again, they get it back.
Here's a few things, though, that we should definitely point out. One, as you point out, this is his barber. This is Tom Brady's media company launching a new podcast here in which people get interviewed in a barber chair. Okay. LeBron already have that?
Yes, he does.
But that podcast is not going to go anywhere anyways.
But
I know what you're saying.
It created a lot of buzz. We're talking about it on the show. A lot of buzz. So he might have just been teed up and trying to get some buzz around it. Also,
did that first answer sound like it was just BS to you? It didn't to me.
No.
For him to have the Raiders and the Patriots on the tip of his tongue.
True. But the Raiders and the Patriots are not good. And neither one is that close to being good. I can't see Tom Brady coming back for anything less than a championship level team at this point, right?
Well, championship level teams already have starting quarterbacks in place, right? You're not going to Buffalo. You're not going to Cincinnati. I talked about the Niners and Purdy. They're set there. I think it would have to be a situation where he doesn't start training camp. Somebody goes down week 10, week 11. And then he comes to a situation where, wait a minute, you got a championship level team, you just got your quarterback knocked out, now come back and step into that, and maybe you got a playoff situation for me. But it ain't going to be some situation
Jordan
where they're coming back to a 4 or 5 win team.
He mentioned Jordan, but I assume he meant Jordan coming back from retirement with the Bulls, not coming out of retirement to play for the Wizards.
Yeah.
I don't think he had ownership with the Bulls. I thought he had ownership with the Wizards.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
And then came out of retirement to play for the Wizards.
You know who's the owner of the Bulls, Scott? We've already established that.
Don't give me any more hot water.
But if he was implying.
I'm like a 17-year-old kid sitting in front of the principal.
If he was implying if somebody goes down, I'm going to come back and play, that reminded me more of Roger Clemens. His last few years with the Yankees, where he'd only play the second half of seasons because he was older and he'd still get a ton of money and he'd come into playoff races.
If this is real, and if it's not just an attempt to goose a podcast for a friend, if this is actually real, it has nothing at all to do with helping a team near the finish line. It has everything to do with, as what Scott said, he can't deal without being Tom Brady. He's 46 years of age. Granted, he's in great shape. I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure he can still throw the football. I'll be very, very curious to see what kind of legs this story gets throughout this weekend, particularly in Boston.
You know what else I'm very curious about?
Oh, boy.
Arizona sports. D-backs. Cubs. Ticket giveaway.
Quite a segue, Jared.
Who is going to be the what caller, guys?
Caller number 5, Ferret.
Caller number 5, call in 602-230-9. No, that's not right. 602-260-9870. Thank you. 602-260-9870. The 5th caller will win tickets to the Cubs Diamondbacks series.
They're a Cub. All right, good. Those are good tickets. People are getting it. Start answering the phone.
Okay,
Jack,
the phones
are ringing. All right, coming up on the other side, we're diving back into the Phoenix Suns. Huge game against the Kings tonight. We'll get you prepped up for it next. Scott Williams in for Vinny. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.